Hey guys, it's Emily, and welcome back to a new episode of my forensic science podcast entitled Case Studies with Emily. This episode, we're going to be talking about the case of Richard Ramirez. So without further ado, let's dive in. All right, so let's dive in. As I mentioned earlier, this case is on Richard Ramirez, as most people know him, the Night Stalker. So, description. The first known murder occurred in June of 1984, where Richard Ramirez raped and murdered a 79-year-old widow. He was also implicated in the murder of a 9-year-old girl in April 1984, due to finding his DNA at the crime scene. However, he wasn't found guilty of the crime. After an 8-month resting period, Ramirez resumed his killings, most of which occurred in the Los Angeles area and took place during home invasions. With some surviving, victims endured sexual assault and beatings. Satanic symbols were also found in multiple crime scenes. This criminal became known to the world as the Night Stalker, as I mentioned earlier. In fact, the panic the Night Stalker caused sent a surge in gun sales, making them skyrocket because of the terror spread throughout Los Angeles. Eventually, Ramirez's fingerprint was found at a crime scene, which led to the release of his identification on August 30th, 1985. The next day, a man in East Los Angeles recognized Ramirez and reported him to the police. Ramirez, in an attempt to outrun the law, tried to steal a car but was surrounded on all sides by a crowd and beaten until the cops showed up. During the trial, Ramirez notably made satanic references in his legal proceedings, specifically by drawing a pentagram on his palm. After much time, Richard Ramirez was formally convicted in September 1989 of 13 murders, 5 attempted murders, 11 sexual assaults, and 14 burglaries. He was then sentenced to death in California's gas chamber. In stating his crimes, the judge expressed how Ramirez acquired cruelty, callousness, and viciousness beyond any human understanding. However, Ramirez never showed any signs of remorse and was not fazed by his sentence. In fact, he replied, "Big deal, death has always went with the territory." After being on death row for more than 23 years, Ramirez died of B-cell lymphoma, which, if you didn't know, is a type of skin cancer, at the age of 53 on June 7th, 2013. All right, so who was involved in this case? So we have a huge list of victims, so I'm going to go through those pretty quickly. So June 28th, 1984. Jenny Vinkow, she was the 79-year-old widow. It was in Glassell Park. Her throat was slashed, and he committed murder and burglary in this one. On March 17th, 1985, there was Dale Okazaki. She was 34. Maria Hernandez, who was 20. And then that was in Rosemead. Dale was shot to death, and it was murder and attempted murder, robbery, and stuff like that. Then we have Veronica Yu, who was 30 in Monterey Park also on March 17th. She was drugged from her car and shot. We have Vincent Zazara, 64, and his wife, Maxine, who was 44, on March 27th. And this was in Whittier. She was stabbed and mutilated, 2 counts of murder and sexual charges. May 14th, 1985, Bill Doy, he was 66, Monterey Park, he was shot to death, murder, robbery, and sexual charges. May 30th, 1985, Carol Kyle, 41, was in Burbank, rape, sodomy, oral copulation, burglary. Burglary, sex charges, and robbery were charges that were brought against him. June 1st, Mabel Bell, 83, and Sister Florence Lang, 80, Monrovia. Keller was bludgeoned to death and satanic symbol were scrawled in various places. July 2nd, Mary Louise Cannon, 75, Arcadia, beaten and throat slashed. On July 5th, Whitney Bennett, 16 years old, in Sierra Madre, attempted murder and burglary. July 7th, 1985, Joyce Lucille Nelson, 61, Monterey Park, beaten to death. July 7th, 1985, also Sophie Dickman, 63, Monterey Park, raped and sodomized. July 20th, Max was 68, and Lila Needing, 66, so a couple, and Glendale, both were shot to death. July 20th, also Chanarong Kovanen. Sorry, I'm not by any means trying to butcher the pronunciation of these words. Anyway, he was 32, he or she was 32, Sun Valley, shot to death. His son and wife were both sodomized. August 8th, Elias Abawoth was 35 and was Diamond Bar. He was shot while sleeping. And then, of course, we have Richard Ramirez, which is the criminal in this case. So, obviously, there are a lot of victims that are for sure known linked to him. Also, there are some that are not directly linked to him. So, just know that. Okay, where was this? So, this was in Los Angeles, or at least in the Los Angeles area in California. And the crimes of themselves lasted from 1984 to 1985. So this was all in like a year span that he committed all of these crimes. Of course, nothing really happened because of the trial and him dying, but it was a very long process, especially when the trial came. All right, evidence. So the big thing with evidence is they found his fingerprint, at least one or maybe two, at a crime scene, which led him to become a suspect. As far as means, motive, and opportunity, I did some research. Apparently, Ramirez was exposed to such cruel behavior at a very young age. His cousin had shown him pictures of, well, shown Ramirez pictures of stuff that he had done just like this, and he's just been fascinated ever since. He also worshipped Satan and all things evil, which I believe personally caused him to act. He may have thought it to be a form of worship to his religious beliefs. Okay, outcome, the legal outcome. So, as I mentioned, he's convicted of 13 murders, 5 attempted murders, 11 sexual assaults, and 14 burglaries, and was sentenced to death. However, that never really went through because of the B-cell lymphoma skin cancer. Okay, this is like an opinion, so don't come at me for this, but why do I think this case is famous? Well, I personally think it's famous because it was so brutal. Like, when I first heard that I had to do a case study on this case or a different one, I immediately wanted to do this one because I've always heard the Night Stalker. I've never really known what happened with that, but I knew the name. So, with that being a nickname, the case spread like wildfire and everyone just kind of heard about it. No, not many people may have like paid much attention, but we at least knew that it was like someone bad. He also didn't just murder people. He broke into their houses and sexually assaulted them also. So like generally with cases that are that bad or cruel or whatever, are quite famous, I would say. I also think that if you knew any of these facts, you couldn't really just forget it or move on knowing all the bad things that he's done. And then, of course, some stuff that stood out to me was how he responded when he was put on trial. Like, he wasn't even sorry for the things he had done. So I just think that's, like, something to take note of. Some people don't have remorse for their actions. They feel no need to sympathize with the things they have done or feel bad for anything, and that's just very interesting to me. All right, so that pretty much wraps up my case study this week. I hope y'all enjoyed it. Come back again next week, next Wednesday specifically, for a new case study. Hope you enjoyed. I'll tune in with you guys next week. Bye.